Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, October 26, 2020. Coming up this hour.
U.S. futures fall as a stimulus deal remains elusive and U.S. COVID infections hit a record.
The virus hits the White House again as the top aide to Mike Pence tests positive.
And the president's chief of staff gives up on containment, saying the U.S. is not going to control the pandemic.
New York and New Jersey COVID cases are at their highest since May, plus skirmishes broke out between supporters and opponents of a pro-Trump parade in New York City. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Jets remain winless. The Dodgers beat the Rays to go back ahead in the World Series.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are falling to start the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 32 points this morning. Dow futures down 265, and NASDAQ futures down 106. The DAX in Germany is down 2.25%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 0.80%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.5% on $1 at $38.83 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $5.40 at $18.99.70 an ounce, and the euro 1.1819 against the dollar. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a coronavirus pandemic that continues to surge. The number of new U.S. infections hit a record for a second straight day at more than 85,000. Deaths are on the rise as well, with another 939. On the campaign trail, President Trump continues to say we're rounding the corner.
They keep talking about cases. You know why we have cases so much? Because that's all we do is test. If we cut our testing down in half, they'd say, well, they wouldn't say that, but cases would go down in half. Now we have the best test, and we are coming around. We're rounding the turn. We have the vaccines. We have everything.
No vaccines yet. There are several shots in the works, but none that have cleared clinical trials. Meantime, five members of Vice President Mike Pence's inner circle, including his chief of staff, Mark Short, have tested positive. White House chief of staff Mark Meadows says the vice president will continue to campaign, telling CNN's State of the Union.
We're not going to control the pandemic. We are going to control the fact that we get vaccines, therapeutics, and other mitigation areas.
Why aren't we going to get control of the pandemic?
Because it is a contagious virus, just like the flu. Yeah,
Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden says that remark that the U.S. won't control the pandemic wasn't a slip. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says we're at a dangerous tipping point with the virus and deaths will continue to grow without intervention.
We have a moment of opportunity right now to take some forceful steps to try to abate the spread that's underway. But if we don't do that, if we miss this window, this is going to continue to accelerate and it's going to be more difficult to get under control.
Gottlieb spoke on CBS's Face the Nation, heard here on Bloomberg Radio.
And as the pandemic grows, the odds for a stimulus bill from Congress are fading. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, a new round of virus relief moved no closer to a resolution after a weekend of talks. Nancy Pelosi says she's waiting for a counteroffer today from the White House. The House Speaker didn't sound all that optimistic on CNN.
They keep moving the goalposts. We want it the sooner the better, and that's why we're making concessions. We're making concessions, too.
White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows appeared earlier on the same program.
We've continued to make offer after offer after offer, and Nancy continues to move the goalposts.
And the lack of a weekend deal all but extinguishes the prospects of a stimulus bill being signed into law before the election. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Well, a final vote is set today in the Senate for the president's Supreme Court nominee.
We're moving this nomination forward. And colleagues, by tomorrow night, we'll have a new member of the United States Supreme Court.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says confirmation is all but assured, while Democrats like Senator Elizabeth Warren are slamming the GOP for rushing the process.
Confirming Amy Coney Barrett to the nation's highest court is their path to advance an extremist agenda long after the country is fed up and disgusted with their failures.
Sources tell us the White House is considering a possible outdoor event to swear in Barrett tonight after the final confirmation vote.
Election Day is just over a week away, and history says that's good news for stocks. Matt Maley at Miller Tabak says over the last 30 years, the S&P has rallied the week before a presidential election, with one notable exception, 2016. Maley says the average weekly return was 3.8%.
And if there is a blue wave victory on November 3rd, Goldman Sachs says any capital gains tax increase from Democrats likely won't have a big impact on stocks. Goldman strategists say regardless of the election outcome, they expect roughly 10% upside to the S&P 500 by the middle of next year.
We have another extremely busy earnings week ahead with plenty of blue-chip tech companies reporting. We get a preview now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Tech names include Apple, Alphabet, Advanced Micro Devices, Facebook, and Twitter. We'll also be hearing from big industrial companies including GE, 3M, Airbus, Boeing, Ford, Caterpillar, and Honeywell. Tom Plum is Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Plum Funds.
What we're really going to see is from the industrials and others, what they've seen, what they've been able to do with their business models to cut expenses, to right size, and things like that.
Also on tap this week, energy names such as ExxonMobil, Chevron, and BP, pharmaceuticals including Pfizer, Merck, and Lilly, along with financials such as Credit Suisse, MasterCard, and Visa. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. In other corporate news, a possible deal may be brewing this morning. The parent of coffee and donuts chain Dunkin' is in talks to be acquired by private equity-backed Inspire Brands. According to the New York Times, the deal is valued at $8.8 billion and could be announced today. Inspire Brands owns Buffalo Wild Wings and Jimmy John's.
Germany's Bayer, known as Bayer in the U.S., has agreed to acquire North Carolina-based biotech Asklepios Biopharmaceutical. The sale could fetch as much as $4 billion, and closely held AskBio develops gene therapies for diseases like Parkinson's and congestive heart failure.
More tension between the U.S. and China this morning. Beijing says it will impose unspecified sanctions on Lockheed Martin, Boeing, and Raytheon Technologies. That's after the U.S. approved an arms sale to Taiwan last week. The State Department agreed to $1.8 billion in new arms for Taiwan and submitted the package to Congress for a final review. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And at 5:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo criticized President Trump's chief of staff for saying that the U.S. is not going to control the pandemic and will instead focus on getting vaccines and therapeutics. Cuomo says Trump's approach to the virus has been, don't even try, just surrender.
They have believed from the beginning that they can't control the virus. That's the only rationale that explains the denial and the lying.
New York added 1,632 cases. Meanwhile, New Jersey reported 1,140 new cases. In Newark, Mayor Roz Baraka says the city will begin taking serious measures after saying the city has seen more COVID-19 cases than every other city in Essex County combined. Skirmishes broke out between supporters and opponents of President Trump as a Jews for Trump convoy of cars draped with American flags and Trump 2020 banners rolled through Manhattan and Brooklyn. Videos shared on Twitter showed several protesters pelting the vehicles with eggs or stones. Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, greeted supporters from the passenger seat of a car driving near Trump Tower during the parade. Police said seven people were arrested in Times Square. Joe Biden dismissed Republican questions about his son Hunter Biden's business as a smear campaign and suggested the possibility that the release of documents allegedly belonging to the younger Biden was part of a Russian disinformation campaign. California is seeing some very dangerous fire weather with power shutdowns and dire warnings. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Truth is, nobody can predict 100% how these go, but forecasters are saying winds in the worst locations can gust from 35 to 80 miles per hour, and PG&E and Southern California Edison have shut or are in the process of shutting down what could impact over a million people. This, along with stark warnings regarding the potential for having to get out.
Make sure you have all your important documents set aside, an emergency supply kit, anything you'll need to take if you are evacuated.
CAL FIRE's Daniel Berlant says the wind severity will move in region southward and be dangerous into tomorrow. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshire.
All right, good morning, Nathan. World Series Game 5 did not have the drama of Saturday's epic Game 4. Like that one, the Dodgers jumped in front.
Now the pitch. And there's a fly ball to center field. That's well hit. Way back and gone! A home run! Jock Peterson! His second home run of the postseason, and the Dodgers take a 3-0 lead.
Dodgers radio the call. Rays scored twice, tried to tie the game, but Manny Margot was called out trying to steal home. Max Muncy then homered, and L.A. won 4-2 to go up 3-2 in the series. The Dodgers can win their first title in 32 years tomorrow night. Moral victory for the Jets. Their 18-10 loss to Buffalo was the closest they have come to winning. They scored the game's only touchdown six times. The Bills settled for a field goal. Gangrene had a 10-0 lead, their first halftime lead of the season, but their record dropped to 0-7. The only team yet to lose, Pittsburgh. Best start since 1978. The Steelers blew most of a 20-point lead, but beat previously unbeaten Tennessee 27-24 when the Titans missed a game-time field goal at the end. Seattle's first loss came last night. Arizona rallied late to tie and then beat the Seahawks 37-34 in overtime. Kansas City is 6-1. Easy win in the snow in Denver. Le'Veon Bell, released by the Jets, made his Chiefs debut. Green Bay is 5-1 with a rout of Houston. Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdown passes for the Packers. Meanwhile, New England, just 2-4, blown out by the 49ers, 33-6. That's Bill Belichick's worst home loss ever as Patriots coach. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
And John, slow out of the gate as New Jersey sprinted ahead in the sports betting market. Freehold Raceway is hoping to catch up to the pack as the latest entity in the Garden State to offer it. The oldest harness racing track in the U.S. is the third track in New Jersey to take legal sports bets, joining 8 of the 9 Atlantic City casinos. S&P futures down 29 points. Dow futures down 234. NASDAQ futures lower by 95 points. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are moving lower this morning as coronavirus infections continue to climb and investors doubt that Washington lawmakers will reach an economic stimulus package anytime soon. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 30 points. Dow futures down 247. NASDAQ futures down 92. The DAX in Germany is down 2.1%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 0.80%. The yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.6% on $1.05 at $38.80 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $3.20 at $19.02 an ounce. The euro 1.1812 against the dollar. British pound 1.3024 and the yen is at 104.89. And we are watching for reports on new home sales today out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. And Hasbro's among companies scheduled to report earnings. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Senate Republicans shut down a Democratic filibuster Sunday on the Amy Coney Barrett Supreme Court nomination, paving a clear path for her final confirmation tonight. The vote was 51-48. Vice President Mike Pence indicates he intends to be in the Senate for Barrett's confirmation vote. 5 members of Vice President Pence's inner circle tested positive for COVID-19, including his chief of staff, Mark Short. Marty Oakes also tested positive. Oakes, a longtime political consultant and ally to the vice president, was traveling with him last Monday. Yesterday, Pence campaigned in North Carolina. The Dodgers are a game away from winning the World Series, beating the Rays 4-2 in Game 5. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
There are 8 days until the election now, 49 days until the Electoral College meets, and we have you covered with all the latest developments right through November 3rd, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Joining us now, Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And of course, Kate, the latest development now is once again the coronavirus is front and center for the Trump campaign with Vice President Pence's inner circle. Now the latest outbreak. The president might have thought he'd be riding a better debate performance, but now events get in the way.
That's right. And this has sort of been the recurring theme or a recurring theme of this, the waning days of this campaign season is this idea that, you know, every time the Trump campaign looks to kind of move the conversation back to their own terms, things they want to be talking about, we seem to be seeing, events intervene. And, you know, we saw that a couple weeks ago when the president himself tested positive for coronavirus. Now we're seeing it as, you know, the disease is affecting members of the vice president's inner circle with just, you know, 8 days to go until Election Day.
And what to make of this comment that we heard on one of the Sunday shows from White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows that we're not going to contain this pandemic and that we're going to focus on the race for therapeutics and vaccines? It really seems as though Democrats have seized on that now.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think it's a hard case that, you know, the Trump administration and Mark Meadows are trying to make right now, you know, in the face of the deaths of more than 225,000 Americans from the coronavirus. But I think that it's not necessarily dissimilar from what we've heard from them in the past in that, you know, we heard from Trump himself after he came back from the hospital after battling the virus when he said, you know, don't let the coronavirus dominate your life. Don't fear it. I think this is a clearer articulation than we've heard in the past, but, you know, in keeping with what we've been hearing out of the White House, that, you know, the strategy is not necessarily to contain the virus per se. It's more to figure out a way to treat and overcome the virus. I think the big question is what has, you know, the degree to which that resonates with Americans, many of whom, you know, have family members or friends who have been affected or worse by this virus, and, you know, the extent to which people might penalize Trump at the polls for taking that attitude.
Do we have a sense at this point at how the president's handling of the pandemic is affecting him in the polls?
Well, certainly we've seen consistently that he gets poor marks in polls that question about, you know, that ask the question of voters of whether or not how much they approve of the president's handling of the virus. He's consistently, you know, going back to the late spring, early summer, he's consistently gotten poor marks. However, you know, he does get better marks overall. And when you look at the economy, you know, he gets even better marks. And so I think that, you know, that raises the question of the extent to which people are going to cast their ballot based on, you know, thinking that Trump has done a bad job of handling the virus versus casting it around other issues.
And now as we see the coronavirus case count and death count climbing, it's looking more and more likely that we are not going to see a stimulus package to try to blunt the effects of the coronavirus before Election Day.
That's right. You know, I feel like we've been having this conversation, Nathan, for several weeks now, you know, about hope springing eternal for some reasons that, you know, candidly, I haven't fully understood on Capitol Hill and at the White House about the possibility of getting a stimulus package done before Election Day. I think that the optics of basically both sides throwing up their hands publicly and saying we're done aren't good. And so that's why we're seeing them continue to talk about the possibility of a deal. But as, you know, the days slip away and, you know, both chambers of Congress after today are going to be out of session and home campaigning, I think that, you know, frankly, the likelihood of there being something is drawing closer to zero.
Well, it does, though, seem as though the markets are banking on the idea that there is going to be some kind of stimulus after Election Day, depending on how the electoral outcome turns out. What are the possibilities there? What kind of package could we see after Election Day, perhaps in the lame duck?
Well, and that's why I think that's been the subtext here. And that's why I do think also, you know, there is some value in the negotiations that we've seen happening over the last several weeks in the sense that, you know, it's moved the ball forward in terms of trying to get an agreement, at least between the White House and House Democrats after the election. You know, these talks are going to be picking back up, you know, probably not next week, but potentially the week after. And there has been some headway made. And so I think that, you know, the key question here is where both sides sit from a power standpoint, from an election standpoint, once we know how the election is going to shake out. And, you know, one side or the other is going to find its negotiating position improved. And so I think that that's going to be the outcome or the realization that's going to help push these negotiations forward. You know, if this blue wave that people are talking about doesn't materialize for Democrats, Democrats are going to be position to push for more compromises from the White House.
Bloomberg U.S. Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you for this. We'll check back with you later on in the program for more on the latest political developments as we get closer to Election Day, now just a little more than a week away. S&P futures down 30 points now. Dow futures down 243. NASDAQ futures down 97 points. And it's 525 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. Get better at giving back with their donor-advised fund. To find out more about JCF, visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are dropping as a stimulus deal remains elusive, and U.S. coronavirus infections hit a record for the second straight day. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is giving up on containment, telling CNN the U.S. is not going to control the pandemic.
What we have to do is make sure that we fight it with therapeutics and vaccines, take proper mitigation factors in terms of social distancing and mask when we can.
At the same time, the coronavirus is once again hitting the White House. Five members of Vice President Mike Pence's inner circle, including his chief of staff, Mark Short, have tested positive.
And as the pandemic grows, the odds for a stimulus bill from Congress are fading. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
And Nathan, after 3 months of squabbling, aides in both parties say little progress was made in weekend negotiations. The White House chief of staff and Nancy Pelosi both accuse each other of moving the goalposts. The House Speaker says she's now waiting for another counteroffer today from Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Turning to geopolitics now, tensions between the U.S. and China may be heating up. Beijing says it'll impose unspecified sanctions on Lockheed Martin, Boeing, and Raytheon Technologies. That's after the U.S. approved an arms sale to Taiwan last week.
In deal news, Germany's Bayer, known as Bayer in the U.S., has agreed to acquire North Carolina-based biotech Asklepios Biopharmaceutical. The sale of AskBio, which develops gene therapies for Parkinson's and congestive heart failure, could fetch as much as $4 billion.
The parent of coffee and donuts chain Dunkin' in talks to be acquired by Inspire Brands. According to the New York Times, the deal is valued at $8.8 billion and could be announced today. Inspire owns Buffalo Wild Wings and Jimmy John's.
Bankers at UBS will soon see a change in their paychecks. Sources tell us the Swiss bank is raising salaries for some of its senior employees. Bonuses will be cut in exchange for fixed salary gains of as high as 20%. The move is designed to prevent competitors from poaching talent at UBS.
And it's a busy week on the earnings front with Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, and Facebook reporting. Estimates for Amazon predict strong growth with revenue surging 30% from last year. Analysts also forecast double-digit gains from Microsoft, while estimates for Apple and Facebook are more reserved. S&P futures are lower, down 31 points. Dow futures down 245, and NASDAQ futures down 96. The DAX in Germany is down about 2%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 0.81%, and the yield on the two-year 0.14%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 2.6%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's find out what's going on in New York and around the world this morning from Michael Barr. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo criticized President Trump's chief of staff for saying that the U.S. is not going to control the pandemic and will instead focus on getting vaccines and therapeutics. Cuomo says Trump just surrendered without firing a shot.
If you believed you could control it, then you try to control it. If you don't believe you can control it, then you lie about it and deny it and you minimize it.
New York added 1,632 cases. Meanwhile, New Jersey reported 1,140 new cases. Skirmishes broke out between supporters and opponents of President Trump as a Jews for Trump convoy of cars rolled through Manhattan and Brooklyn. Video shared on Twitter showed several protesters pelting the vehicles with eggs or stones. Police said seven people were arrested in Times Square. The U.S. Senate took its second to final step toward putting Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court, a move that would seal a 6-3 conservative high court majority. The Senate, on a 51-48 tally yesterday, advanced Barrett's nomination toward a final vote to be held today. Barrett was President Trump's choice to replace the liberal Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died of cancer on September 18th. Vice President Mike Pence was on the campaign trail in North Carolina Sunday. It comes as five members of Pence's inner circle tested positive for COVID-19. Pence stood in the rain beside Air Force Two last evening.
North Carolina and America need four more years of President Donald Trump in the White House.
Senator Kamala Harris was also busy on the campaign trail. The vice presidential hopeful was in Michigan saying there is a stark contrast between the two candidates on the very basic issue of a workable standard of living.
Joe and I will raise minimum wage to $15 an hour, but we also know that's the floor, not the ceiling.
The number of people casting an early ballot in the presidential election now surpassed those who voted early during all of 2016, more than 58 million. Pope Francis named U.S. Archbishop Wilton Gregory as the first African-American cardinal. The appointment was one of 13 new cardinals announced by Francis during Sunday Mass at St. Peter's Square in Rome. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Clayton Kershaw's postseasons had never matched his regular season success. His record was under 500, but he's won twice in this World Series. Last night, the Dodgers got two runs in the first inning, then solo home runs from Jock Peterson and Max Muncy. They beat the Rays 4-2. They lead the series 3-2. Kershaw was asked about not being able to try to win the championship until tomorrow.
Sitting around one win away from a World Series is going to be hard, especially when you've been in the same hotel for 4 weeks now. But, you know, I think we can wait one more day, and we'll all be ready to go game six.
Dodger title will be their first since 1988. Jets are 0-7. Could this be their worst season ever? They went 1-15 in 1996. Six Buffalo field goals for an 18-10 win after the Jets led 10-0. Sam Darnold back after missing two games, two interceptions, sacked six times. Jets on only two first downs in the second half. Close games week seven. Detroit scored a touchdown on the final play for a one-point win in Atlanta. In Cincinnati, five fourth-quarter lead changes. Cleveland won on Baker Mayfield's fifth touchdown pass. And last night, Arizona beat Seattle in overtime. That's the Seahawks' first loss. Just as Tom Brady threw four touchdown passes and led first-place Tampa Bay to a win at Las Vegas, his old team, the struggling Patriots, got blown out by the 49ers 33-6. Dallas beaten by Washington 25-3. So if the Giants had held on to that lead that they had last Thursday in Philadelphia, they would be tied for first place right now. Instead, they're in last place. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
For New Yorkers looking for a new home, it's a choice between falling prices or discounted rent. In Manhattan, it would take nearly 19 years of leasing to beat the cost of buying a comparable apartment in Chelsea, according to Street Easy. On the Upper West Side, you could rent for 10 years before matching the cost of buying. More people headed to the New York metro region than moved out during COVID-19, according to an analysis of cell phone data. An Orbital Data study showed the most popular cities for relocations were Tampa, Florida, Phoenix, and the New York City area. New Jersey's forging ahead in an effort to block New York from taxing Garden State residents who no longer cross the border for work. Last week, a state Senate committee advanced a bill directing the state treasurer to look at stopping New York from taxing New Jersey residents working from home. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Theater chain Studio Movie Grill has filed for Chapter 11.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the government considering reducing the time people need to go into self-isolation.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Hyundai has posted its first quarterly operating loss in at least a decade.
Here's our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. On the economic front this week, the Commerce Department issues data on third quarter GDP, and economists say the growth rate could erase second quarter losses, at least on paper. Here with more on the week ahead is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Second quarter GDP dropped a record 31.4% as the pandemic careened across the country, and the third quarter recovery could net it out. But a lot of what was wiped out isn't coming back, and jobless claims are still higher than at any time since the Great Depression. Federal Reserve officials call the outlook uncertain, and the upcoming Conference Board Consumer Confidence Index is expected to signal that. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Now, some other stories we're watching. Shares of SAP are down more than 18%. The German software maker cut its revenue forecast for the full year and expects the pandemic to hurt demand through at least the first half of 2021. Ant Group has set the price for its IPO in Shanghai. That paves the way for a blockbuster sale that may give the Chinese fintech a bigger valuation than JP Morgan Chase. Pricing details are expected by tomorrow. Ant will be listed in Hong Kong. Overall, the IPO is on course to surpass Saudi Aramco's record $29 billion offering last year. And Airbnb is splitting its privately held shares ahead of a planned IPO. That's according to an email reviewed by Bloomberg News, which says shares have climbed more than 10% from its last valuation. Airbnb hopes to raise as much as $3 billion in a public offering this year. Futures pointing to a lower open this morning on Wall Street. S&P futures are down 31 points. Dow futures down 257. NASDAQ futures lower by almost 95 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 10 30 seconds. The yield 0.80%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are dropping this morning as coronavirus infections continue to climb and investors doubt that Washington lawmakers will reach an economic stimulus package anytime soon. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 34 points, Dow futures down 274, NASDAQ futures down 100. The DAX in Germany is down 2.2%. 10-year Treasury up 10 30 seconds, yield 0.80%, and the yield on the two-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.6% on $1.05 at $38.80 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% or $2.20 at $19.03 an ounce. The euro 1.1810 against the dollar, British pound 1.3038. and the yen 104.84. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the U.S. Senate took its second final step toward putting Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court. The move would seal a 6-3 conservative high court majority and cap a swift but bitterly partisan confirmation process. The Senate, on a 51-48 tally on Sunday, advanced Barrett's nomination toward a final vote to be held tonight. A fast-moving typhoon has forced thousands of villagers to flee to safety in provinces south of the Philippine capital of Manila. It flooded rural villages, ripped off roofs, toppled trees and electric posts, and knocked off power in several towns. The Dodgers are a game away from winning the World Series, beating the Rays 4-2 in Game 5. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street on a risk-off Monday morning. We bring in Patrick Palfrey, equity strategist at Credit Suisse. And I guess there are plenty of reasons this morning, Patrick, for investors to be in retreat with coronavirus cases in this country hitting new records by the day and prospects for stimulus dwindling more and more by the day, at least before the election. What are you looking at in this market this morning?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think a lot of the story over the past several weeks has been this idea that stimulus is really going to be beneficial as we see a blue wave potentially come into office. And with that, you see almost an unencumbered package get pushed through over the longer term as well. And with that, potentially less likely, then the issue becomes is how does that value trade work? How do higher inflation expectations, which many investors were expecting, and how do higher interest rates, what happens to that story? So, I mean, we're really following what is going on with interest rates, but also at the same time then looking ahead to what's coming up with earnings this week.
And we're certainly seeing some steepening in the yield curve this morning once again with the 2 and 10 year spread getting even wider. What does that tell you about what this market could be doing?
I think right now, to the extent that we see the curve continue to steepen, it really does support that value trade, because what it's telling me is that longer-term outlook, it looks better. And in reality, we need that for many of these pro-cyclical companies, the industrials, the materials, and maybe to a lesser degree energy, but still important, as well as financials, really work in that environment. So to the extent we have that happen, it bodes well longer-term, but we do need to see the prospects of those stimulus packages really come through.
Of course, we do hear from a number of the big tech names this week, a very important earnings week for companies like Amazon and Apple. What could that potentially mean for the rotation from growth into value?
So you're right. Tuesday and Thursday are the two biggest days that we see this earnings season. What we've been focused on is how quickly many of these technology companies have been able to recapture, to the extent they even lost profits this year. And when we go back and we look across the number of names within the tech space, the vast majority of those companies are recapturing or surpassing 2019 EPS levels this year. So we did have a recession, but they weathered the recession incredibly well. We need to hear that that's continuing, and we don't believe that any potential disruption is on the horizon for many of these technology companies, but we do need to hear that continues. To the extent there is any softening in their trends, I think it will bode poorly for the group, but right now the burden is on the trends to slow. Otherwise, we expect growth to continue to outperform.
Now, when it comes to the longer term, looking ahead to a possible rotation from growth into value, what are you looking for from a stimulus deal coming out of Washington, perhaps in the lame duck session? What's your thinking on what that's going to look like?
Well, I think what's important is that we get stimulus, and we can debate what exactly the specific packages are, whether it helps a specific sector like energy and materials, or frankly disadvantages fracking. We can debate those nuances, but stimulus in general is going to support faster economic activity, more inflation. That is hugely beneficial to pro-cyclical companies. Financials will benefit from higher rates, and then your industrials and your materials will benefit from higher economic activity. Those are the economically sensitive sectors. That's where the opportunity is. So to the extent that stimulus comes through, that's where you want to be.
In our last 30 seconds here, do you think that a stimulus package would offset the risk of higher taxes if we do get a blue wave?
I think right now it is hard to tell, but one thing to keep in mind, last time that we saw tax rates fall, there was no difference in performance between companies with high and low tax rates within the same sectors. So there's benefits from economic activity increasing, or in this case, slowing, but don't worry about the tax rates against similar companies.
Patrick Palfrey, equity strategist at Credit Suisse. Thanks as always for your insights. Really appreciate it. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Uber doesn't have to produce documents related to whether there were investigations by federal regulators as part of a lawsuit brought by a former competitor, Sidecar. A federal judge in California ruled he'd have to have specific information about an investigation for that to happen. The IRS is moving ahead with plans to treat fantasy sports operators as gambling companies. That could cost FanDuel and DraftKings millions each year in excise taxes. And the Federal Aviation Administration and former flight controllers have reached a settlement in their federal age discrimination case.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And another legal story we're watching. Female attorneys at the Supreme Court, they're still pretty rare, with women only arguing between 12 and 21% of the time in recent terms. The percentages have actually been falling since 2016, and that is many choosing a less traditional route to Supreme Court advocacy, private law firms rather than Solicitor General's office. For more on the matter, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Strawbridge Robinson.
The number of cases argued by women has fallen in recent years. The high water mark was in 2016, and then it started plummeting in 2017. Why?
Well, there were a number of women who left the Solicitor General's office, longtime veterans like Sarah Harrington and Nicole Saharsky, who have argued between them dozens of cases. And they left right as the Obama administration was heading out and the Trump administration was heading in. It seemed like the Trump administration had some difficulty getting women to join the office, but it does seem like they are making some strides in that area now. We saw the first attorney to argue on behalf of the Solicitor General's office this term was a woman making her first Supreme Court argument.
So how are more private firms becoming a launchpad for women advocates at the Supreme Court?
Well, we're seeing a handful of women advocates who are getting their first arguments, not through the Solicitor General's office, but in firms. And the women I talked to who had gone this route said that it was a mark of achievement because it's hard to get a case in a firm because you not only have to convince your bosses that you're up to the task, but also the client in a way that you don't have to when you're in the Solicitor General's office. So we do see women arguing more cases from law firms. But again, the numbers are still really out of whack. Most attorneys who come from private practice are men and not women.
I found this fascinating. The women you spoke to said you not only need a mentor, but the mentor basically has to convince the client to let you argue.
That's right. And, you know, that was the one thing of all the women that I talked to. They all said you need to have a mentor and you need to have a mentor who will be willing to go to bat for you with the clients and who will be willing to let you work closely enough with clients that when the time comes to make the ploy for you to make the argument, that the client is comfortable with you and letting you take on very high-stakes arguments.
Are many of the women who argued a lot of cases, sort of the veterans now, are they mentoring women?
They are. So one of the women that I talked to in particular said she was mentoring women like crazy, that there were so few women partners around that it really was up to her on her shoulders to mentor more than her fair share of them. But I think they all see it as an honor and not really a duty. All of them want to see more women in the Supreme Court space, and all of them want to help young lawyers to get there.
And that's Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Strawbridge Robinson speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And again, futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down 32 points. Dow futures down 262. NASDAQ futures down 98. The 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 0.80%. And the yield on the two-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.5% or 97 cents at $38.88 a barrel. And the euro, 1.1810 against the dollar. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.